When something is negative, it tends to be a force that reveals what you need to do, what you and I need to do. The only way in which you could find out how strong something is to apply a force to it to see how strong it is. And for example, if they build a chair, they could say, well, this chair can last for up to a certain amount of weight. Beyond that, it will crack. And it will last for that number of hours of sitting. Although nowadays they don't really measure that. Then they will put the chair through its spaces and they keep dumping weights on the chair and assume, let's say after a million seats, the chair will fall apart. Then they can say this chair can stand a million seats. If you buy a plasma TV, they will tell you, oh, this plasma TV is designed to last for 10,000 hours. Which means that if you leave it on for 10,000 hours, the guarantee expires, it will break down. It is not designed beyond that. So they tested it. If they design a pair of shoes to last long, they put the shoes through its paces. And they say, well, that's how long. That's how much they know. Negative pressure, negative things. Behind it, you got to view it as something positive. Because if there is no valley, you won't experience the mountains. Do you realize that if you remove all the valleys, how do you remove valleys? Fill them up, correct? Until there are no more valleys on the earth. If you fill up all the valleys, guess what? The world is like a football. There are no valleys. There will at the same time be no mountains. Because every time you have a mountain, it creates a valley. By default. If there is no sadness, you will not know what joy is. So we need to learn to handle the negative in our life correctly. Now let's look at some Bible examples of how they handle. The secret is how they handle the negative, not whether the negative is there. Because the negative will always be present when imperfection is there. Only in heaven those things are gone. In this world there will still be tears. There will still be tribulations. There will still be suffering. There will still be persecution. Only in heaven are all those tears wiped away. Not before. Which means that there will be negative things that we got to deal with. And so we see here in 1a, look at the book of Acts. All negative problems are merely problems that reveal what you need to do next, or what we can say, growing problems. When you need to grow, then you feel the pressure. When you don't need to grow, you won't feel the pressure. When you need to do something beyond what you are, you will face the tire negative things. Then there is a negative challenge. In Acts chapter 6, it says here in verse 1, here's something negative happening in the church in the book of Acts. When the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Acts 6 verse 1 and then verse 2, the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples. Now we do not know in verse 1 how long it lasted, but there were complaints, there were negative things. They did not say, we give up, they did not say, you know, the problem is with the widows. In a way, yes. Who were causing the problems? Well, let's look at it in verse 1 carefully. It says here, arose a complaint against the Hebrews. So, if you have against, you may have somebody attacking them. So, who were those attacking them? The Hellenists. By the Hellenists. The Hellenists are the Greek-speaking Jews. The Hebrews are the Hebrew-speaking Jews. So what you have is a cultural problem that was causing a linguistic barrier. And it was inherited. The Hellenists grew up speaking Greek. Probably they were the younger generation. The Hebrews grew up speaking Hebrew. They were the Orthodox or the older generation. Because remember, they were in the Roman Empire by that time and Greek was common. And the new generation all speak Greek. There was a generation gap. There was a cultural gap. There was a linguistic gap. Whatever else you want to put inside there. And there was a complaint. Somebody was causing the complaint. Solution number one. These are all not real solutions. These are all, you know, some things that people may do. Solution number one. Crucify all the Hellenists. Well, they will get rid of the complaint. Wouldn't that be? Right? Kill all of them. Or chase them all out of the church. Say, look, here is your bread. Here is your soup. Eat or get out. Solution number one. Get rid of them. And that. Do you think that will solve the problem? No. Because they are missing the point. What was causing that complaint? What was causing the complaint? The immediate cause was the Hellenists. Right. Very clever. You know, even, you know, a low IQ guy who say, I know the problem. I know the problem. The Hellenists. They are the problem. Yes, you could even have Sherlock Holmes come in. Proof, evidence. This is what they said. I recorded it. I taped them. I tapped their phone, tapped their fax, tapped their email, tapped everything. Here are evidence. A complaint originates from them. But that was not the real cause of the problem. They should have gone one more step. Why the Hellenists were complaining. So their first solution was out. Not good solution. That also won't work. Okay, solution number two. Thank you for your contribution. Solution number two, you come to them and say, Hey, you guys. You know, you Hellenists, you apologize. I apologize. Okay. You Hebrews, forgive them. I forgive you. Alright, now join hands together. You will be now living happy together. So, solution number two. It is just a problem of their emotions and culture. Something that has to do with their heart. Something that their upbringing. It is just a generation gap. Let's deal with our methods of getting them together. Hey, can some of you leaders there, some of you leaders here, put them together, send them away on a camp. Let them have emotional bonding. Let them fish together. Let them camp together. Let them barbecue together. Not one another, but barbecue the meat. Let them do all the things together. Spend, and then they come back. Oh, they're bonded together. You know, now you all spread that bondness. Spread that unity together. And add to that, we get you to sing the songs together. We are one in the Lord often. And on top of that, we get you to confess oneness to one another. On top of that, we have rules that say thou shall not be negative. And we add all this on top of those things. So solution number two, emotional solution. That won't solve the problem. Because the pot is boiling. There's a fire underneath. No matter how much you tell the little frogs in the boiling pot, and you open the lid and there are frogs in the boiling water. And you tell the Hellenist frogs, you frogs behave yourself, behave in the corner. The other Hebrew speaking frogs, behave in the corner. Okay, you all behave yourself, alright. And all the apostles close the lid again. Now live happily ever after, alright? Put a poster inside that boiling chamber. You know, be nice to one another. Send them for some diplomatic seminars. How to be diplomatic to one another. Make them all read Norman Vincent Peale's book. How to win friends and influence people. So influence one another. So, close the boiling pot and... guess what? The frogs will keep jumping. Why? Because there's something boiling. The fire has not been put out. You are only containing the fire. It's still boiling. They're all going to be killed. They will die while being nice to one another. So what will you have after you open the pot? You'll see one frog with his hands over the other. Both dead. The Hebrew speaking frog and the Hellenist speaking frog all died. We all joined hands together, dead. You're Chinese, you look. That's good, let's have frog's legs now. But they all died. They died trying to be one. They died because that was not the solution to that complaint. Solution number three. The reason why they're complaining, they need discipline. They're very rowdy lot. They just need more discipline. Let's call it our Christian mafia, if there's such a thing. Do they have a name for it? Okay, the disciplinary board comes in. And they are the taskmaster. And so every time, and they hang around these people, marching up and down with their whips. Big size people. In fact, they're related to Goliath. And also related to Pharaoh. So frog complained, quiet you there! And another frog complained, and then one of the frog don't have enough food because they had to share the fruit. So the hungry frog tries to grab a piece of bread from the other frog. Hey you there! Be in your place! And that third solution doesn't work because that was not the problem. In the end, they will be whipped to death. And after some time, guess what? When the root solution is not not brought forth, one fine day, these people, they're no more frogs. I mean, they're like slaves. Among them, there's a Spartacus. After weeping for a long time, Spartacus arrives. A frog rebellion came forth. A gang of bullfrogs arise. Their leader, Spartacus. And they took over all these people. They got rid of all these people with the whips. And they started marching on. Guess what? That's not going to solve the problem. It creates more rebellion. Because those were not a problem. And sometimes, as I point out, people solve the wrong problems. So solving a problem is not as easy as we realize. It's not treating